how to keep your stuff a secret.
And I'm going to show you how to squish it.
If you like splitting the check, it just got easier.
It's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Well, hello. It's time for iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
You look lovely today.
Thank you. You look lovely, too, in a little aubergine.
This is from the Leo collection.
It looks like the new Slack logo color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of conversation about the new Slack logo. Slack, a sponsor of this fine program. What do you think? I like the old one, but I understood their explanation.
I liked the old one, but... You know, sometimes I would mistake the old one for other, like Google Photos. Sometimes.
This is the old one. I still have the old one.
Updated?
Oops, I didn't mean to do that. That's the old one. That means I have to do an update.
Yeah.
Because the new one looks like drops of sweat. Yeah. Multicolored Smurf sweat.
There's the new one right there.
Yeah.
Multicolored Smurf sweat. Huh, interesting. So we're not talking about Slack today. We are talking about privacy.
Oh, very good topic.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cook talked about it, so we're talking about it.
So he wrote a very interesting editorial for Time Magazine in which he said it's time for governments to get in the act. And he set out four things that he believes every user deserves. I don't remember what any of them are, but they're important.
They are.
First, it's right there. The right to have personal data minimized. In other words, you should be able to go to a company and say, hey, I don't want you to collect more information than you absolutely need to. He says it's too easy for companies just to collect it. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then later find a use for it. Second, the right to knowledge, to know what data is being collected about you. And that's, of course, sometimes you have to read through thousands of lines of privacy, even with Apple privacy policies, just to understand what are they collecting and then why. Third, of course, the right to access it. You should be able to. And Google does a good job of this. Apple has started to do a good job. Both companies and Facebook, too, for that matter, are affected by the General Data Protection Regulation from Europe, which requires these particular rights. And finally, the right to data security, which is what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Privacy and security are related, but not the same.
Mm-hmm. He also talks about the right once it's sold that you have the right to know where it's sold to. Permission
Absolutely.
To use it, not just, because there's a lot of, there's data brokers out there. Yeah. So
we learned that from the AT&T Sprint T-Mobile story a couple of weeks ago. You did this on the TNW, where we knew that these companies were selling to data brokers who would then sell on to third parties. Mm-hmm. And you really lose control of your information once that happens. So security and privacy are closely related. Keeping your data secure. This is another privacy issue when companies like Equifax and Target and Marriott and Yahoo lose your information because they haven't kept it secure. You could be as secure, you could be very secure and they still get breached and your information is out there. So they're related. So what are we going to do to help people be private?
I should mention Jason Howell and I are still doing our Twit switch.
That would explain
a
lot.
Using the Google Pixel.
Although look really, when you look from the back
front. I mean, mostly I just
pretty similar
in the browser anyway, so it's not that different. But I am going to AirPlay this to screen mirror this to the Apple TV so you can see a little bit better.
And poor Megan has to suffer with the phone.
I know, it really is a suffer. So DuckDuckGo, I think, is one of the biggest privacy apps out there. And they've been around for a while. And last week, Apple announced that they're going to be powering Apple Maps with DuckDuckGo information. Addresses.
Although, the issue here is if you know what somebody's searching for, you can pretty much profile that. Basically, you've even seen that happen when Yahoo released a large data set of so-called anonymous searches. And a journalist was able to track a person down just from her searches, put it all together, called her up, said, "Is this you?" And she said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" So anonymizing even isn't very effective. And of course, Google doesn't, even if Google didn't give it to third parties, they know everything you're up to. So DuckDuckGo is a way to do your searches without sending that information to anybody except DuckDuckGo. And they say, "We don't
Right.
Keep track.
And so last week we told you how to do private browsing with Safari.
One more thing I should point out. You're going through your internet service provider. They're seeing your searches.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so here's the DuckDuckGo browser and the search engine.
Is DuckDuckGo HTTPS? I would assume
it is.
Well,
this is an app, so I'm
Well, that you can't tell in an app, can you? Yeah, it's HTTPS, so that means your ISP can't see
so,
what you're doing. That's good.
You know, let's say I was searching for Twit, and then because I was going to buy my husband a Twit hat, and so I was like
Watch
searching.
Watch your glare there. You can't see my handsome face. You're so clever. There is no glare there.
So let's say like I wanted to buy a hat, and so I was searching for this, and then I don't want my husband to know that I was searching.
Yeah.
All I have
That's
to
history.
Do. Yes, Search exactly.
History.
But
yeah.
Everything, all the cookies, everything, that little fire icon in the bottom.
Burn it.
I just tap it and clear tabs and data and everything's gone.
That's a nice feature. So that's in the app.
Burned you up.
Yes. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that when you use Safari to do searches on iOS, you're using Google because Google pays Apple. Last year they paid them, it was estimated $9 billion for that, right? And this year they're expected to pay them $12 billion, and Apple, of course, isn't going to turn away all that money. So you're going to have to use DuckDuckGo. And that's one disadvantage on iOS. If you're doing a search with Safari, you're forced to use Google. You can't change it.
Yeah. So, I mean, put this, if you want to do secure
So that's a browser. So if I use the DuckDuckGo browser and do my searches and browsing, it all goes through DuckDuckGo.
Right.
That's nice.
Right.
Like that.
So so instead, you know, it's one more tap. It is an app.
Yeah.
But you can put it, you know, in your dock on your iPhone or your iPad and just have it there for whenever you want to securely browse stuff.
Yeah. See, this is an important point. When Tim Cook talks about privacy, he can control what Apple's up to. But the minute you put even, you know, one app on your iPhone, all of that goes out the door because, you know, if you put Facebook on there or you use Safari to search, all of a sudden it's not going to Apple. It's going to another company, and that company has its own policies. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, really, to I mean, Apple could say, we're a privacy company, but I can understand why they say others need to do this, too, because it's hard for Apple to protect you completely. Mm-hmm. One way I like to keep private is online. One of our – they used to be a sponsor. It's funny because their name is Privacy, and it's a credit card company that creates virtual credit cards, and maybe you've heard our ads for it. I still use it. They don't advertise anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't think the world of them. So one of the things that's cool about privacy is you create cards that are tied to a merchant. So I set up this DoorDash card, and once it's used by DoorDash, only DoorDash could use it. So that's more secure. Remember I said privacy is security related, but the other thing I love about privacy.com is that you can give them any address. Now, for DoorDash, you don't want to give them an address that's not yours or the food won't come to you. But in the credit card, you don't have to. So here's a unnamed burner card, for instance, and I can use that. As soon as I use it with anybody, it will become locked to them, but I can use it with any address, any zip code. Privacy will approve the charge, so the merchant won't get my address, and I like that. That's a good way to protect your privacy. I use, as you can see, I use them for Verizon. I use them for my kettlebell kitchen. I use them for mud. I use them for everything. I really
buy
like
mud.
You
buy mud?
Mud water.
Oh.
Yeah, it's muddy water. It's good. It's good. I gave you some, didn't I? It's kind of a mushroom drink.
No, you didn't give me a mushroom drink. You've done a lot of things.
You'll like
but
it.
You haven't given me a mushroom.
It's got mushrooms in it.
Okay.
So that's privacy. That is a free service. Because they make their money on credit card fees. The only caveat with privacy is it goes directly, it's a debit card, so it goes directly out of your bank account. So you don't have as many protections with debit cards, unfortunately, as you do with credit cards. But I use it for almost everything online just because I don't want to give out that information if I don't have to. And I really love the fact that, you know, I can make a one-time use card or a card that's locked to a merchant and I don't have to worry about somebody getting that card number. They can't use it. And it's named appropriately, even though it's really as much about security as privacy. It's called privacy.com.
Have you ever given your password, your iPhone or iPad password to someone, like maybe a partner or anything? Do you ever share that?
Oh, yeah. Lisa knows my code, and so, and I know hers, yeah.
And is there ever something that you might also want to keep a secret from
Not
her?
Anymore. Because she's got my code.
Right. Okay. But say you have a, maybe you have a reason.
Well, I for instance, Christmas, her birthday's coming up. Her birthday's coming up. Yeah. We just did Christmas, and her birthday's right after that. And I want to get her a gift, but I don't want her to know anything right. about it.
Would she go on your phone and put in your password and look through your notes? I
no.
would. I would do that.
You would? Some spouses would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't like surprises. So this, kids, cover your ears. This is not for teenagers.
Because they should not have any privacy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So your parents might have your passcode. Maybe
like,
you want to have...
I like that laugh.
They shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is called notes... Okay, am I still... I'm not screen mirroring anymore. Am I? Yes, I'm still screen mirroring, right? Can you see me or no? Let's see. What screen mirror?
No, you have to redo it. There it is.
Okay. So here is notes. It's right there in the corner here.
Yeah.
So this says enter a passcode.
Okay.
So let's say that I enter my regular passcode. No, you can show it.
I don't think it shows up, does it?
No. And then it says, oh, you don't have any notes there. Tap to create a note. Okay, well... but now let's go back to notes, and then I've created this special passcode.
So you can have different passcodes. Oh, so
and
I get it.
There's my notes.
Evil genius plan to take over the world.
Yes, you're my evil genius.
It involves pandas.
Yes, and clearly you too. So you can add photos in here. You can, let's see. So and if I go away and then go back, I have to enter the
passcode. Am I pinky or the brain?
Pinky, obviously. Okay. So yeah, I can add a, I can record something here down at the bottom. You can record or I can add photos. I can take a photo. I can scribble on there if I want to, point to Leo and, say he's the problem. And then I can add
this is what
colors.
We're, this is what we're going to solve.
And so, yeah, so the, so if someone thinks they have your passcode and they enter it, it looks, it's not like
think
it says,
again.
This isn't, it doesn't say this isn't a password. It just says there's no notes there. And, so yeah.
I'm, by the way, busy getting the new Slack
oh, you are.
Okay. Logo just for you. Cause I don't want you to feel left out.
Okay.
So I think it's very important when you're messaging to remember and I think Paul Manafort might have forgotten this, that a lot of what you are doing in your messages is visible either to any, like your phone company, if you're using text messaging, although Apple's messages are encrypted. But Manafort thought, oh, what was he using? I forgot what he was using. He was using some so-called secure system to message, but he forgot that when he backs up to iCloud, that it is backed up unencrypted, and that was how the feds got him, because they were able to subpoena his iCloud records. We know this from the court filings, and then read all his encrypted messages. So this is something very important to keep in mind. There are a lot of messaging programs that are encrypted, including Apple's messages, but those are also stored in iCloud. Really the best way to go completely dark is Signal. Signal messaging is in, the only drawback to Signal is everybody has to be using it to message each other. But Signal is truly private messaging. Now, as you can see, they don't have an iPad app, alas. It's tied to your phone number, which I think is a little bit of a disadvantage because that is leaking out some personal information, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
However, that's how it works. It's tied to a phone. That's why it has a doesn't have an iPad app. I'll make this a little bit bigger. But it does encrypt the messages that you're sending and video and voice calls that you're sending using open source strong encryption. This is really everybody, all security experts agree, the way, including Edward Snowden, by the way, the way to do truly private messaging is to use Signal. There's Edward Snowden's endorsement, I should say. But I do recommend that... if you know, there are others like Telegram that are sort of secure and Messages, which is mostly secure. There's secure enough and then there's really secure. And that, I think, Signal is a good choice if you want really secure. The only drawback is you can't actually, on Android, you can use it as your text messaging app. But, of course, if you're sending SMSs, those won't be secure.
You can also send GIFs or GIFs.
It's fairly good. It's not as completely super sweet. Oh, you use Signal.
I do. I was gonna. I was gonna send you a GIF right now.
Oh, a secret GIF from Giphy. See, but this is why this is hard, because it's my guess that Giphy knows that you're sending me that that great gift. Wee! That little piggy's going wee all the way home.
You're gonna see that you have a Signal message from me and think, nice. Oh my gosh, she's gonna tell me a secret, and then you can open that.
So what I do is I tie Signal to my Google Voice number. And that's a number that I don't mind giving away. It's on my business card and so forth. If I send you email, it'll be in the email, because I can screen it. It's a good number for me to give out. And it's tied to my Signal. So I also say in my email messages, if you want to send me a private message, not only can you use encryption in your email, but you could also send me a private message via Signal. And here's my phone number. And so that's a really good way to kind of give out a number. And then people who want to message you privately will use Signal.
So you're using a Google Voice number, but then Google Voice has no access to your Signal because you're using their number.
That's
Those
right.
Those two aren't connected.
Signal is encrypted, what we call a little, this is important to understand a few of these terms. End-to-end encryption is a very important term you'll hear. That means nowhere in the middle, including on Google's servers, is the message in plain text. It's not readable. End-to-end means it's encrypted everywhere between me and the person I'm sending to, or vice versa. Only those two people can read it. That's what you want. You want end-to-end encryption. That's Apple Messages is not end-to-end in the respect that you can be backing it up to iCloud in the clear. There are a couple other terms. We'll get to those as we talk. I have other things to show when you're ready.
Okay. Well, I have one that I wasn't going to show because you didn't like it, because I tried to send you a message with it and then it made you download the app. But I'm going to show it anyway.
Well, I don't dislike it, but it's kind of an interesting idea. And I imagine kids will use it to send sexts
or
that mothers can't see.
Maybe. This is called Blur.
Yeah, look, and I got a blurred out
I sent
photo.
A blur photo to Leo, so you can take a look at that.
It's got a little bomb on it.
Right, so it lasted, I think it lasted 3 seconds. So if you wanted to open
like
that,
Snapchat, but you can use any messaging program.
Right. Or you can, it's an iMessage app, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So you press
but
that.
Here's the problem is, in order to open it, I have to get Blur. Is it free?
It's free.
Oh, that's
Go
nice.
Go ahead and get it. See what happens.
I should get it.
Get it.
Does it show up as a messages app as opposed
yes.
to? Okay.
So
it's not a desktop, not an iPhone.
No, app. It's just, well, I mean, it should. If you
yeah, it says only for iMessage. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's cool. So now.
So now you open it up.
It was quick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open it. Blur would like access to my photos. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Yikes! That's a scary. That's and it expired.
Yeah, you got it.
I'll never see it again.
Yeah, you'll never see
it. That was
it.
Terrifying.
That was
Can I
picture.
Reply?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
You can take a photo.
Sure.
It will blur.
Sure. It's too bad it's facing the wrong way. What does get started mean? What does that mean? Can I double tap it to?
Tap the X and see, X out of there and see if it. Okay, so now open it in your iMessage and see down there your app. Yeah. Oh, is that
it? Ooh, you shouldn't see those pictures. This was an app that I was. Oh, you can see them.
Oh, goodness.
You
gracious.
Can see them. This was an app that I was going to recommend.
You shouldn't see those pictures.
That's... I should send you this.
Blur it. Blur
okay,
it.
Okay.
Blur it. Blur it.
So this was this. Okay, now that should be blurred. Nobody should see that. Now you're gonna get that.
Okay, send it to me.
I just
send
it.
A message
okay.
with it.
No. Now let's watch Megan's phone to see what happens
okay,
when she gets
so
a message from Leo. Show her phone.
Okay.
There we go.
And then,
this is scary. And 3 seconds probably is too long. I was gonna show it. thank God. So I was the reason I have that on my camera. I have an explanation to do. Is that I was going to show my app cap today was going to be something called Manly, and you take a picture of yourself like that, and you could put muscles okay. and a six pack and tattoos on you, but there's something about my body; it just didn't look right. I was going to put a six-pack there. I did put a six-pack there. I tried and tried to make it look manly.
Oh.
So I said, oh, hell with it.
I'm speechless.
I just texted Megan by accident.
Everyone, actually. We all saw it. Thank you for sharing. I'm just glad you have an explanation.
Yeah. Yeah, because I wouldn't actually take a picture like that. I couldn't. That wasn't a selfie. Yeah, Lisa took it. I said, please, Lisa, take a picture of me. And she said, what? No. I said, no, there's a reason.
All right, you said you had some more.
I should show you the manly result. It was not manly.
I would like.
It looked like somebody drew six-pack abs on my flaccid torso. This is an app that is a little more complicated and a lot more to explain. I've mentioned it before. I really like to flog this thing because I believe in it so much, but it's not for the average user. It's for people who are serious about privacy. It's called Keybase, and it's a free service. Keybase.io is the website. And Keybase has an iPhone app as well. And one of the many things Keybase will do, if you want, is create a PGP, or pretty good privacy key, for you. Or you can use PGP on your computer to create it and then store the public version of it. This is what I'd recommend on Keybase. You don't really ever want to store the private version of your key anywhere. Public key crypto, another term we're going to describe, has two keys. One key that you give out to anybody. I can give you my public key. I can give anybody my public key. They can use it for two things: to send me a message that's encrypted that only I can read because only I have the private key. And they can use my public key to verify that I actually sent that message or any message. I use public key crypto on my email. If you get a message from me, you can verify I sent it because only I could have signed it with my private key. So yeah, I like to keep my private key private. This is allows you to keep track of people and their private keys, to download them, to share them. But in the process of that, they've got some additional features that are really great. For instance, encrypted messaging. And this is real encrypted messaging. You have to have a Keybase.io account, but they are free. And you can send destructing, blowing up messages, just like you said with the GIF, but it could be text as well as images. You can chat with people. It's really, really great. I am a big fan of Keybase. There are other things as well. You can do Slack-style teams that are completely encrypted, completely private. It even has an encrypted file system, which is great. You can share files with people in an encrypted way. You can also share, you can use, have your own Git repository that's encrypted. So I keep all my keys in an encrypted Git repository, all my tax returns, things like that, that I want to keep completely private. They're only accessible to me with my private key. So that is really great. This is the team solution too, which is, it's just really cool. So I made a Twit staff team, but I'm the only person in it.
Oh, I have Keybase, but I just, I've got some secret words there. Don't show my secret words.
Oh, yeah. The secret words are an interesting addition. It's a way of authorizing devices. So you'll see all the devices that are on, that I've authorized on my Keybase include my phones, my desktop computers, and then also a secret word that you use, and this is a string of long words that you can use to authorize them, or you can use another device to authorize that device. Keybase is really fantastic. This is a free service. I don't know. Frankly, I'm amazed. So these are all the things I keep in my Keybase Git repository, including my keys, my .dot files for my desktop, my taxes. That's really nice to have an encrypted Git repository. They also do a cryptocurrency called Lumens, and that's what that wallet is for. Keybase.io is a really interesting and kind of hard to explain company, but if you understand PGP keys, if you understand public key crypto, you'll understand kind of what they're doing. They're doing all the things you can do with public key crypto. And again, my only advice is while Keybase will generate a public-private key pair for you, but if you do that, then you're trusting them. And so I would suggest getting PGP on your computer. There's free versions for every computer, and generating your own key. Keep it very secure, really lock it down, have a long, strong passphrase on it, and then you know, ideally, you know, never put it on the internet, never put it anywhere. You only put your public keys out there. And that's what I do. I keep my public key on Keybase. I also keep my email signature on Keybase. So you have, because you have a Keybase file system, you can also have files in there. And I actually have a web address. And if you go to this web address, which is, let's see, I think it's Leo Laporte. That's my name, I believe. .keybase.pub, which is my public key. I put that in my, I put this in my email signature. And this is a file that only I can modify with my private key. So it is completely secure. So it's a way for people to verify that I am who I say I am. And these are my legitimate sites like Twit and the Tech Guy Labs. Keybase will also do that for you on the Keybase front page. So I find that also very useful. And you see here, I say, here's my PGP key. If you want to send me a private email, this is a public key, so I can show you this key. But I also say, and here's my Signal phone number if you want to Signal message me. So I think this is kind of, Keybase is maybe a black diamond tip for people who are a little bit more into security and privacy. But I think a very useful one if you understand how public key crypto works. It's a really great, basically it's a key library.
I installed it when you first mentioned it, and then you have to, you know, it's on my Twitter account too, because you have to verify using another.
You can verify your Twitters, your Facebook, mm-hmm. your websites. So that way is another way people can go to your Keybase. They can go to whatever your Keybase name is. Is it Megan Maroney?
Mm-hmm.
Keybase.io or keybase.io/Megan Maroney. And they can see, oh yeah, she's claiming ownership. She has claimed ownership of this Twitter account, this Facebook account. So you can, so people can say, oh yeah, that's really her, mm-hmm. which is great.
Right. I think
that's
really useful. I'm never going to get that blue check.
Yeah. So, but it's better than a blue check.
Yeah. The girl with the pony is better than the blue check. That's what I say.
I say so too. Mm-hmm. That's Keybase, the girl with the ponytail or whatever that is.
I think it's
kind of like a Bam Bam thing. Looks like she's got a bone in it.
It's a key.
Oh, it's a key.
Yeah.
Oh. See, all this time, I've never really, I thought it was Bam Bam or Pebbles.
It might be Pebbles with a key in her
instead
hair.
Instead of a bone.
Yeah, and I mean, be my Keybase friend. I don't actually do anything with it yet, but I will always get emails.
I will add you on Keybase.
And I haven't even used
it. So one of the things you can do this, you want to change your key fairly regularly. I change mine every 4 years. And if you follow somebody on Keybase, when they change their key, you'll get a notification so you can update your key. That's a nice feature.
Obviously, LastPass, which is a sponsor, they're a big privacy app.
And you know, to be fair, yeah, they're a sponsor. But if you use 1Password or KeePass or Keeper, there are a lot of password managers. Any password manager is better than no password manager. We happen to like LastPass, but there are many, many choices.
I was looking around for things I could tell you about LastPass that you might not already know. Did you know that you can make passwords that you can pronounce?
Yeah, pronounceable. Yeah.
So I thought, I think you can show my
It's hard to pronounce the pronounceable ones. They're just all
they're
letters.
Yeah, they're not, but they're just, so, yeah.
What they don't do, and I think for good reason, is the pass phrase thing where you have random English words.
Because that's not secure.
I don't think it's as secure. A lot of people, including XKCD, say, oh, no, this is the way to do it. It's certainly more memorable, but always remember, memorable means less secure.
Right, exactly. So you can show my screen here. It says generate password, and so that, you know, I can make it length, however long I want. And then under options, you allow all character types or make pronounceable. So if you choose make pronounceable,
then it's only upper and lower case.
Right.
It's and they try to put vowels in there so that you can say it. Say it. Go ahead.
So pi begus buis timpa. Or augo laver velnician. Or immer spear anterioid.
It's better than a pass phrase, but it's not as memorable or pronounceable. Ooh, you can make up a new language this way.
We should just speak in pronounceable LastPass passwords. Tustrify. That one's a pretty good one. I'll just use that one.
A couple other good LastPass features people might not know about. I've mentioned emergency access before. That allows you to designate somebody so that if you're incapacitated or die, your heirs will have access to your password so they can get into your accounts, your bank account, your stock brokerage, stuff like that. Otherwise, it's a really difficult, sometimes impossible process for them to get into your stuff. Now, of course, you don't want them to get into your stuff unless you're actually incapacitated. So they have a dead man switch where you can say, email me if Lisa, my wife, tries to access my passwords. And if I don't respond, and then you say the period of time, in my case, I think it's a week. If I don't respond in a week, that means she can have access to it. But if I do respond, don't give her access. And I think that's a nice feature. It's called emergency access. Actually, there are a number of great features in LastPass. One other feature I would highly recommend is using two-factor authentication with LastPass. In fact, folks, use it with everything you can. LastPass will allow you to use your phone authenticator. Don't use text messages. That's the last ditch thing. But they also use token-based authentication like Duo Security or YubiKey. And I use a YubiKey, so I keep it's here because it's always in my pocket. Is this physical key that I can, it's a USB key. It's like kind of like one of these dongles, but you put it in your computer and you press the button and it generates a one-time password. So I use that with LastPass. That means you really want to secure, if you've got all your passwords in one file, you really want to secure them. So you want to use that two-factor authentication and use the most secure version you can. Text messaging would be the lowest on the list. I have a good friend, Ray, who I've known for years, who had two-factor turned on his Gmail, and hackers spoofed his, he's a Canadian, they spoofed his phone number, and they were able to get the text message, unlock his Gmail. Of course, once you've got somebody's email, then you go to all their other accounts and say, oh, I forgot my password, email me a new one. And he was completely compromised. It was a terrible thing. He's still digging his way out.
Well, there's a big trade in SIMs, like SIM swapping. That's how you get people's phone numbers. Yeah. And so that you get their SIM and then you get the two-factor message and you get everything.
Yep.
Do you use more than one authenticator app? Like I use the LastPass authenticator and I also use Google Authenticator. Yeah.
Well, you almost have to because there's other authentication solutions. I personally use Authy, which I do recommend. And here's why. Google Authenticator, if you set up a new phone, you have to start over. Mm-hmm. Or you have to figure out some way to store those QR codes. Authy has a centralized account. You encrypt it, by the way, and that's very important. You can use Authy to encrypt these one-time passwords. This is another one of those. They've fixed it now. It isn't. It's horizontal. I'm showing off. Let's pick a different one. There you go. Actually, that's not a good one either. I don't even have a Tumblr account anymore. You can see my token there. These change every 30 seconds. In fact, you see a countdown timer.
You'd have to be very
The fast. Nice thing about Authy, for the ones I showed, you'd have to be very quick. They're already
Robot
no good.
Mr. Robot has done it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. The nice thing about Authy is you have an account. So anytime I set up a new device, I log into my Authy, I decrypt it with my very private, super secret decryption key, and I don't have to enter in new tokens. So I have Authy on every one of my devices. So it's exactly the same. This is the same number you'll get from Google Authenticator, LastPass Authenticator. They're all using time-based hashing of a secret token. And so they all get the same number. And that's why you can use any authenticator you want. Another one that a lot of people use is Microsoft's Authenticator. And the reason if you use Windows, you might really want to use Microsoft Authenticator is because you can log into Windows without even typing a password. It'll just send a pop-up to your, I don't have it set up on here, but I do have it set up on here. It'll send a pop-up to your, maybe I don't, Microsoft, there it is. It'll send a pop-up to your phone. I shouldn't probably show that. There, now you can see it.
Yeah, you can show it, Kevin.
I guess they're not going to be good in 13 seconds. Go ahead. So it gives you a number, but it also sent a pop-up to your phone that says approve or deny when you want to log into Windows. I really like that feature. So that's Microsoft's Authenticator. That's what LastPass Authenticators does, too. Instead of a six-digit code, it says approve or deny, mm-hmm. And I like that feature.
You know how Marie Kondo is so popular right now because she has her Netflix show?
Because she sparks joy.
Right. And you know I've been talking about Marie for years.
My daughter's doing it. Abby's doing it.
Oh. I have this idea that I'm going to do the Marie Kondo, but for cleaning up your privacy. like the, you know,
that's
the,
a great idea.
The art of cleaning up, because it just does take a while.
So her technique is you go through everything, and if it doesn't spark joy, if you don't hold up and go, oh, joy is sparked, you get rid of it. What would you do with security?
Well, I make sure everything had two-factor. And
it should spark paranoia.
So, yes, if it doesn't spark paranoia,
yeah. If you don't go, oh my God.
Like, if you're not paranoid when you sign into something, get rid of it. That's what I would. I don't know. I'm still working it out. And hopefully, this current job that I have will work out so I won't need another job. Right.
What? I didn't hear you.
But I think it is just it's something that you need to focus on. And it's like, I don't know, it hurts me a little bit even to think about how I need to clean up my LastPass and clean up, like, because I do have some accounts that still go to my iPhone 10, you know, that's where the two-factor is, and I haven't had that. Who knows who has that?
So you see, you're verging from privacy into security, but they really are so tightly related. And one of the reasons we're talking about it today is because of collection number one. Oh, connection number one is a 773 million email database that was leaked onto the internet. Brian Krebs at Krebs on Security contacted Sanixer on Telegram. That's the guy who had collection number one. And collection number one, he said, well, I'll sell that to you for only $45. Because it's old, it's 2 or 3 years old. I have much newer databases with people's names, email addresses, and passwords. So I'm going to show you one more thing that really is security, but it has to do with privacy too. And that is haveibeenpwned.com. This is Troy Hunt's free site. It's really great. Now, the front page is not as useful. If you enter your email address in here, I'll do it real quickly, and say pwned, it's going to say pwned. Sorry, you didn't have to hide my email address. It's going to say pwned. Oh, no, pwned. Pwned on 22 breached sites. Found on two pastes. Don't worry about pastes. But this is that email address shows up in all of these sites, including, by the way, collection number one. Mm. But that's meaningless. Of course your email address is in these sites. There's a better part of Have I Been Pwned I want to point people to, and that's right up here where it says passwords at the top. This everybody should go to. The first password you're going to enter is your email password. Make sure it's not showing up in those databases in the clear. I'll type a password that I used for a long time. There we go. And I'll press this button, pwned, and it'll say, oh, no, this password has been seen twice before. Now, here's why that's risky. That means if you've used this password in more than one place, it's going to be a pain for you to figure out where you used it and change it everywhere. First thing you should do, enter your email password. Make sure it's secure. Good news, Megan's is no pwnage found.
You can look at mine now.
But if yours, that's what you want to see is green. But if yours is showing up as pwned, you need to go to that site and change that password because it's in one of those big breach dumps and bad guys for $45 can buy it.
I just entered monkey, and that has been seen 980,209 times.
yeah, it's fun to enter like the big name passwords because
monkey
123, lots of times, and it's fun to play with that because, as you can see, lots of people try password. I bet you that's been pwned, right? So now you might say, and if you say this, you get bonus points. But Leo, I'm not going to put my password into some random web page.
I already did.
Bonus points. you could trust this page. Troy Hunt is trustworthy. It's okay to do that. And he's not connecting it to any email address. It's just a password. Where you're in trouble is where the bad guys have both your email address and the password. That means they can log into a variety of accounts till they figure out which account it is. In fact, they may already know. So if your Twitter password's in there, your Facebook password, your email password, two things you should do. Immediately change those passwords and turn on two-factor. Because even if they had your password, if you had two-factor turned on, they couldn't get into your account. That's why we use two-factor authentication. They need both to get into your account. This is the important part of Have I Been... And by the way, pwned is leet hack speak for owned. They put a P where the O should be. That's the only difference. So HAVEIBEENPWND.com. Haveibeenpwned.com. Troy Hunt's great site. And do this password check. There are more than 500 million real-world passwords exposed in these data breaches in the clear. And if your password has been pwned, then you need to go out and change it. And if you used it on a bunch of sites, you are in trouble, folks. You got to go find them all.
Do I seem calmer to you?
You do seem very relaxed.
That's because I never have to worry about the battery in my iPhone XS Max ever running out, ever.
It looks like your iPhone swallowed a battery.
Okay, so this is the new smart battery case from Apple. It's different. It does go all the way to the edges.
Oh, they're so ugly.
This is version 3, I think, of
just
this.
Horrible.
Really?
Yeah. I don't understand why people think this is a good thing at all.
I like
it. Apple didn't put enough battery in the phone to begin with. Shame on you. B, they're selling for how much?
$129.
I'm
you
sorry.
Could easily buy a case for $129 that didn't have a battery in it, like a nice leather case.
Or you can spend, as I did, $8 for this fine plastic case and $30 for a battery that's three times larger than that. And it's just...
Okay, so to be honest, my iPhone X...
And it doesn't look like your iPhone swallowed a snake.
It doesn't look like it swallowed a snake. It looks like it swallowed like some credit cards.
Some credit cards. That bump doesn't bother you aesthetically?
The bump doesn't bother me aesthetically. It feels good. It doesn't add that much
weight. It has that nice silicone touch to it.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And so the XS Max will last all day pretty much. Unless like I'm doing a bunch of stuff. I'm working on it all day. I'm in the city, you know, or any place.
But that's the problem. If you're playing Pokemon Go all day, you need this.
And so I'll swipe. I've got this little battery. Can you see that okay, or should I AirPlay it so you
can
see
why Apple has the advantage here, because they can display the battery level of their iPhone.
Let's screen mirror this so that you can see it.
Well, you really love this, don't you?
I do. Okay. So now
show you a
I guess that's a little bit better. So
your smart battery case is 83% depleted.
Yes, and my iPhone is 100%.
So it uses the case up first.
It uses the case up first, and then when the case is up, it'll use up my battery. So basically, I've been getting to the end of the day with 100% battery and almost zero battery.
So the battery in the case is enough to charge to keep you charged all day.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I haven't done
any. They don't tell you what the milliamp hours.
I think now they do tell you some information.
No,
about
they don't
it.
Tell you. They don't tell
it's
you.
It's like 30
capacity.
I think 33 hours or something.
Yeah, they
is
don't
what
tell
they
you
say.
The capacity, which is another thing that drives me nuts. So you can't compare it with anything else,
right? But it's enough. The answer is it's enough. I mean, if you were going to the woods for a week, it might not be.
You know
be
what I do
enough,
think but. Is a good point about this is you can still wirelessly charge.
Yes, that's what I love. I set it on my wireless charger, and it charges the case first, and then it'll charge the phone. It comes in black and white. It has all the holes that it needs to have. It's easy to get in and out. It has an LED indicator with a, let me just.
Yeah, I mean, Apple in their walled garden way makes this work better than anybody else's.
It feels really good. It's got that microfiber inside. It's got the,
it's got lightning charge.
Holes.
But you never. I like it that it charges. This charges both the battery and your phone.
Yep.
But it probably takes all night. I mean, it takes a long time, right?
It's not fast charging.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unless you had a fast charging wireless
charger.
It
does support power delivery over USB-C. So does it have a USB-C connection in the bottom?
No, that's a lightning connection.
Nope, that's a USB-C connection, isn't it? Hey, let's try it. Let me plug it in.
That's a lightning connector. You can try. You try.
Oh, I believe you.
It looks like USB-C, but
it sure
it's
does,
lightning.
But it is lightning, yeah.
So that you can charge it with, you don't have
with
to.
Your, with yeah, your Apple with, phone charger.
With a lightning
this
charger.
Is why Apple's got to change to C for the next generation of iPhones. So how would you do power? They mentioned power delivery, but that's a USB.
That's a good question. Where did they, who said thing? That? Power
in the, delivery. In the description of the, on the website. So
power,
see right there, it says, it's compatible, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Where did I see PD? There it is. The case can be charged even faster with USB PD compatible chargers. Oh, you'd probably have to have an adapter.
Oh, yeah, and a lightning to US, I guess, Oh, with an adapter sold separately.
Adapters sold separately.
Well, that's for digital AV.
Yeah.
So as I've mentioned before, I'm a super anxious person, and going some, like, I always have an extra battery pack with me or two. I'm always, my kids are always stealing my extra battery packs.
I bought four of those Aukey battery packs that I showed the other day, last week or the week before.
So.
And then we just, as we go out the door, we just take one with us.
Yeah. So I have this. Like, I might not always use it. Like, I really love my Nomad battery case, which is nice to have. I wish I had a battery case with a wallet case. I mean, I love my Nomad wallet case.
It bothers me. I just don't like the hump.
And that could bother you just fine.
I just don't like the hump dump. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, all the buttons work. The camera works.
It does work better with the iPhone, but, you know, of course it does. It's made by Apple.
So thanks for getting it for me. They did not say, obviously, Apple did not send us this. Leo just got it for
us. We bought it. As we do with
yes.
all the stuff you see here.
the other new thing about this is no chin. The other one used to have the chin down here.
Yeah. And Mophie cases, of course, not only have a chin, they're bigger and thicker and more bulky. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't actually have a battery case. I have carry around those little batteries and plug them in. They charge really fast, though, because they have that power delivery. Technique.
Yeah. So I would say if you get anxious about battery life, if you haven't just bought an expensive case, then get it.
Yeah. It's controversial, but many people like it.
I am one of those.
And you're
people.
One of them. And so you're going to keep that on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want me to send it back, which.
No. Might as well.
You'll
might
break
as well
my
enjoy
heart,
it.
But.
I don't want to break your heart. Aw.
Okay, I have another item.
You're going to send your dress back. Why not send the battery back?
Yeah, it's true. I would like a rental for cases. That would be.
Oh, rent the caseway.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, here, do you ever want FM radio? Do you ever listen to the FM radio?
Yes, I like to listen to the Tech Guy show on FM radio, iHeartRadio.
These are the Black Loud Sound.AF1, and I will tell you that they did send us these, and I'll send them back.
Does it have a radio in it?
It has an FM antenna with it. The antenna is the lightning cable, so you have to download the Sound.app, which I have done, and here's the app, what the app looks like.
I'm very confused. Are you saying that the iPhone has a radio in it?
This is the antenna here.
But what's it?
What station do you want to listen to?
Is it actually radio or is it getting it over the internet?
It's not getting it over the internet. It's using this as the end. It's got an antenna in here.
And it must have a radio in there too, because Apple said very clearly there is no radio in the iPhone.
So the radio is in here.
Must be, yeah.
Okay. The headphones.
So it's an antenna and a radio.
Yeah. So I know you can get right. You could use like iHeartRadio, but
pretty.
You need internet access.
Yeah.
So you don't need internet access. So you can.
The National Association of Broadcasters has been miffed for some time about phone companies not enabling the FM radio feature of phones. Many phones have an FM radio feature. Because Apple designs its own chips, they didn't put it in.
So
and Apple was quick to say, we can't turn it on because there is no FM radio in our phones. That's why I was surprised.
So this is the radio then.
It must be, yeah.
In this little thing. It has a Siri button on it.
Nice. How much?
Yeah. It's $54 right
now. That's
not $55 bad. On Amazon. And it has like all the equalizer, the effects. You can change
That means you don't use any data. You get local radio. Of course, you're not going to get radio across the country, only radio that you could pick up locally. But that's cool. That's nice.
Yeah, local radio. It's
is
not,
there any good FM radio in the area? Because I don't know. Froggy 92.9?
I don't know what the stations are, but my kids listen to it. Yeah, maybe it's 101 something or other.
Your kids listen to the radio?
Yeah, sometimes they do. Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They like it. They like the surprise of it. Like what's going to come on next? Because they've grown up with, you know, Spotify and Apple Music. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
There's hope left.
They love the radio DJs, you know. That's Apple Pay coming to Target.
I saw that. Now 74% of all the top 100 U.S. merchants accept Apple Pay. Oh, it says it right there. 74 of the top 100 U.S. merchants, that's 74%. If my math is correct, use Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. Have you found you're using it more?
Yeah, I use it wherever I can use it. I use it at Whole Foods. I use it.
I was kind of embarrassed to use it in the first couple of years, especially in the first few months, because people said, what is that? Mm-hmm. Is that real? Did you really just pay me? Mm-hmm. Clerks were actually shocked.
Yeah.
But now that everybody knows it, I use it I don't like actively look for it, but if I'm standing in front of a terminal that I can use it, I'll use it.
Yeah. Lucky grocery stores. Target is one of the only places that I miss it. But it's going to be confusing because I don't use my regular card. I have a Target card. But here's something about Apple Pay. Christopher Mims, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, said, I wonder if this is going to make the spread of flu go down because so many people are using Apple Pay. But we're already not using our credit cards.
In order to spread flu more, I cough on my watch before I touch it to anything. Does that help?
You don't have to touch it to anything. You can touchless. Cough in the person's face as you're asking them if you can use Apple Pay.
It's not going to stop the spread of flu. He's saying that you're getting flu germs on your credit card? It's only spreading flu to clerks at Target.
Well, we don't really. When was the last time you handed your credit card over anyway?
No,
we're dipping and swiping.
Yeah. Christopher, come on.
He didn't say it was.
Get with the 21st century, Mims.
I am curious, though, if the less we hand over our credit card, if that is. I mean, there might be longitudinal studies already with that. It's been a while. I don't know. If you're a scientist and you study the spread of flu on your credit card, Megan at twit.tv. I want to hear about it. Did you get your flu shot?
It's not like you're handing them your toilet seat or something. I mean, it's not. Ew, they're all over. I did get my flu shot. Good. Did you?
Yeah, always do. Always
good, because you're getting older. Pretty soon you'll want to get that shingles shot.
I get my flu shot for you, just in case, because, you know.
No, it's good. I do,
older,
too. You know who didn't get her flu shot? My wife and son.
They don't believe in the flu.
They just, shot? You know, they haven't gotten around to it. It's one of those things, didn't get around to it.
Yeah.
So, but I guess I won't get it. They will.
Mm-hmm. You could still get it.
You don't want to get the flu. Oof.
No, but you could still get it, but it won't be as bad, and you have less likely chance.
It was bad when I got it 2 years ago.
I have some feedback.
Oh, no.
Paul, it's all good feedback. I don't read the bad feedback. I'm just kidding. I do read the bad feedback when we get it. Paul wrote the episode that we talked about, the iPad dock, and he bought an iPad dock that he wanted to recommend. It's from Satechi. Have you ever heard of that?
I love Satechi. All of their stuff is great.
Okay. So that was, I think.
That's a Gizwiz loves Satechi.
And he's very happy with
Satechi.
$60. Was yours less or more than that?
Because I got it on Kickstarter. I think I got it for around that, but I think it'll be more than that when it comes out. It hasn't come yet. That's the advantage of his. He's got it. But notice, if you look carefully, where that Type-C connector is, it's in the middle. And the one I got, I think it's in the middle too. So never mind.
So the middle is good or not good?
I think the middle is good.
Yeah.
Because the ones that are designed for iPads, it's at the top.
Mm.
And that wouldn't be as good in the middle is right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. Yeah. It's aluminum, Type-C. It looks like it has HDMI, a headphone jack, another Type-C for charging, and one USB-A. That's nice.
Eric writes, with my work and personal life, I'm always on the go, and I use Siri quite a lot. Before I owned the Apple Watch 3, I would use Siri on the phone to read text messages. But now, using the watch more frequently, I noticed Siri on the watch does not read those text messages. Is there a setting I haven't been able to find, or is it just
Siri on the watch ain't so smart. No. Is she?
I don't understand why Siri on the watch wouldn't read our text messages.
She doesn't talk at all.
She does.
On the watch?
Yes. Hey, Siri.
My answer. Tell me what time it is.
It's 10:29 a.m.
Oh. Was that your watch too?
Both of us, yeah.
We both have male Siris. So it does say it can talk.
Yeah. But it won't
read
text
messages. It doesn't
read
messages.
Yeah. Read my text messages.
I can read things for you on your iPhone.
Well, that is not what I asked for.
I feel like it might have something to do with the limited processor on the watch and maybe the limited battery life on the watch. They don't want it to be doing a lot of talking.
Let's see. Hold on. Let me ask. Who is Leo Laporte?
You have 9 contacts named Leo Laporte. Tap the phone number or email address of the one you'd like to see.
It's not, you're expecting the Wikipedia.
Yeah, I wanted to see if it would do a Wikipedia entry, but.
Hey Siri, who are the Jonas Brothers?
Here's some information.
You see? I don't think they wanted to talk too much.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Instead of, normally they would, in fact, Siri on the iPad would read that Wikipedia entry. So I think that, battery life.
Battery life.
Got to be battery life.
Battery life.
I say battery life.
Okay, battery life.
How come Siri answered both of us? I guess it doesn't know your voice either.
Well, I pressed the Siri button, and so it was already working, so and it doesn't know my voice. Okay, battery life.
I think so. Siri's notably limited on the Apple Watch in many ways. There's just one more. It won't read text messages to you. That would be handy, wouldn't it?
Here's another thing our phones don't do. Dan writes, why does Apple no longer support their split keyboard feature on the new iPad Pros?
You're asking us why?
Right. Well, I thought Dan thought this would be a good discussion, and I agree. You know that split? You remember the split keyboard thing where you could type like this? You could hold the keyboard.
They don't do that on this?
Not on the new iPad Pro. So they never did it on the 12, and they did it, and then they did it on the 9, but then they stopped on the 10-inch, and the 12-inch still doesn't have it. So that's the when people used to use it. And
it's just too big.
Right. So I think so. It's a legacy feature.
So how do I do it? If I'm trying to do it, let me just see if I can
just to verify.
Just to verify.
I promise.
I'm going to start a new note.
It says it doesn't support.
Well, I'm attached to my keyboard, so I have to detach from the keyboard, right?
Try it.
And then how do I do it? How do I split it? Do you remember?
I think what? You swipe up and to the left, or there. Okay, let's see. Split the keyboard. Open an app and tap a text field. Touch and hold the keyboard in the lower right corner of the keyboard. Slide up and tap split. Split.
Yeah, it won't do it.
So the keyboard is slightly different on the new iPad Pros. It's more like professional.
It's more professional.
I don't know. It looks more like a keyboard, like an actual keyboard and not a phone keyboard.
I think they just think it's too big to do it.
But the bigger the phone, the more you need it, right? Well, I've never used it.
I always hate it. In fact, when it gets turned on by accident, I can't figure out how to turn it off.
That is why I think they got rid of it. I think more people triggered it by accident than used it. So it was because I would have the same thing. And we, as everyone knows, are experts in the iPad. And it would come on and we would just be like,
I like your thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It just was like too many people. I'm sure there are people that use it. I'm sure there are lots of people who don't have a keyboard and like to type with their thumbs on their iPad.
And I love having discussions, but there is a word in here that doesn't go with the other word, which is why and Apple. We don't really know why Apple does anything.
But we like to pretend. I personally like to pretend that I know.
Just say courage and move on.
Yeah.
Why?
Sometimes
Apple says, but most of the time. It's just because.
Exactly. I have one more question that we probably don't know the answer to. This is a show called Questions We Don't Know the Answer to.
I actually like that show.
It is good. Yeah. Aang writes, is there an app to convert an ebook I downloaded to an audiobook? I know I can do it page by page, but I don't want it that way. I want to treat it like it was an audiobook from the very start. And so she's talking about an iBook.
Oh, it has to be from iBook?
Well, I mean, if you have another way.
I think if you had access to an ebook, that would be an easy thing to do. You might have to do it on your Mac with something like Calibre. But
could you make an iBook into an ebook or not?
No, their format is protected. So I think that's the hitch. But it wouldn't be a hard thing to do if you have an EPUB or some other open format ebook. But if you have Apple's format ebook, maybe. I don't know. Does Calibre do that?
I've never heard of Calibre.
Is the ultimate. Oh my gosh, it's the ultimate ebook program.
So while he's looking for that, you can turn on accessibility and you can show my screen. So I have
It'll read page by page.
Yeah, so then I can do that and then speak
back on time with kindly eyes.
Do you have it really slow?
Did his best.
Yes.
She sounds a little depressed.
Sun in human nature's west.
How do you know that's not what Emily Dickinson really sounds like?
She sounds like that.
That's. I'll turn that up.
Why is it slow?
I slowed it down.
On purpose?
Well, no. Let's see. Let's look up accessibility. Here, you can show my screen so we can... show where is it voiceover? Yeah. Oh, so I could speed it up really fast if I wanted to, and then let's find our iBook. And sorry, my. And then select.
Emily's tired.
Mm-hmm. And then speak.
Went through a burial gate.
That seems slow.
Forth and sang.
Really
and
trill, brings that poem to life, over, doesn't it?
And shook his throat till all the churchyard rang, and then adjusted his little notes, and bowed and sang again. Doubtless, he thought it meet of him to say goodbye to man.
Don't ever have Siri read poetry again. That's just, takes all the life out of it.
We thought that your picture was going to be the most offensive thing in this episode, but it turns out to be Emily Dickinson. That was much better.
Siri
I'd
reads
much rather see that
Emily.
Than I would listen to that.
Oh, man.
So was the app you were saying?
I'm trying to get Caliber to load up, and something's wrong with our internet again. It's C-A-L-I-B-R-E. Get it? Libre, the word for book.
Libre.
So Caliber is a open source program for Mac and Windows that will do almost anything, convert ebook formats. It might even read Apple's proprietary ebook format. The key is you got to get the text. And once mm-hmm. you get the text, then you can either have chain it to some other program, or I wouldn't be surprised if Caliber has the ability to read it. But I don't think you can, I don't know of an app on the iPad that will do that. Mm-hmm. If that's your question, I don't think there is an app on the iPad that will do that.
If anybody knows about one.
This is a big category.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Glad you could load it. I don't know why I can't. It's the one-stop solution to all your ebook needs. And it's a really great program. It's free. And I wonder if it will convert it to voice. I feel like it should. But if it doesn't, at least it'll get the text out of that book, and then you can pass it through voice synthesis program.
And, I mean, iBooks, they just want you to buy the audiobook as well, right? Like,
that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. It's not exactly a double expense. They give you Amazon will give you a break if you mm-hmm. buy the Kindle version and the Audible version. I like to do that though. Honestly, I often will buy a physical book of a book I've just listened to. I've talked about this Yuval Noah Harari book, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. I just bought 3 copies of it. One for myself and 2 to give to my kids because I think it's such an important book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a copy?
I can download it.
It's really
I can
good.
Just
anyway,
borrow it when Henry's done.
I think sometimes it's nice after the fact. For instance, a lot of times I want a quote and it's hard to rewind and get the audiobook. But if I have the book, I can get the quote out and write mm-hmm. it down and think about it, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Send your questions, Megan, at twitch.tv.
Great question. Send your answers too.
Yeah,
we just gave you 3 questions we have no answer to.
Yeah.
Send your answers to
Megan at twit.tv.
Same place.
Or find me on Twitter at Megan Maroney. You can tweet it and then other people can join in the discussion.
I really like it. Yeah. If you want to, I like it if people will send in answers and mm-hmm. things. And
mm-hmm.
as somebody in our chat room, for instance, said, the use of Apple watches isn't going to reduce the flu if you still have to type in a keypad. Mm-hmm. That's actually going to make it worse.
Oh, right. But I don't have to type in a keypad when I use the Apple Watch. I mean,
I do on my debit card.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's PIN-based. Anything with a PIN, you'll have to.
Oh, with my credit. Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
With your credit card, you still have to sign with your finger, though, don't you?
That's true. You do. Except, not always.
That's the thing that's still bugging me. It shouldn't require anything. It got really good authentication from your watch. What is me going, because I don't sign my real name, do you?
No.
What does that do to make it better? Nothing.
Nothing.
I think it's honestly to let them off the hook.
Yeah.
So that if somebody steals your watch and somehow figures out how to use it for a charge and then signs it, Well, other way around. If they could say, well, look, see here, you made your mark. Oh, yeah, I made my mark. Must be me.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you could make my mark. Do this.
Or we could
take off your shirt, do this, and then put on a fancy hat.
Yes.
Wow. Because it's time for the fairy tale princess.
Yes.
And the Mad Hatter to do our app caps.
It is time to do our app caps. Yes.
They actually, these caps are so big, we actually have to pull out.
Yeah.
We have to zoom out to get the caps in.
Do this.
She's wearing a princess hat. Yes. And I'm wearing the Mad Hatter's hat. This is a great hat.
Yeah. You mean yours or mine?
Both.
Yeah. We both look fantastic.
Megan.
Yes.
What's your app cap this week?
Okay. My app cap was recommended by Patrick Delahanty.
Oh.
Yes.
I know him.
We went out to lunch when Padre was here.
Saw that. Everybody had a great time with Padre on Thursday.
Yes. And we went out to lunch, and I would have, you know, we were all talking about work, taking him out. I would have suggested that we just use the Twit credit card to pay for lunch.
And that would have been okay with me.
Okay, good to know. But that's why you don't give me the Twit credit card. I don't have one. Other two other people at the table, Colleen and Jason, had one, but they were like, no, let's just pay, you know. They do enough.
They care a lot about us.
They do. They really do.
But we would have been glad to buy. I would have been glad. I don't know what Lisa would say. maybe Colleen did the right thing. I don't know. You did what?
So, you know, we all had different things and blah, blah, blah. Where'd and I'm
eat?
Always like, I had the Brussels sprouts.
I didn't ask what you ate. I said, where'd you eat? Of course you had the Brussels sprouts. Of course you had the Brussels sprouts. Has her choice of a variety of foods, and she has the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it. It was it's like a roadhouse, like right up the road.
Oh,
the
Pete's Henny Penny?
No,
IHOP.
I can't remember what it's called.
Fun.
The Twin Oaks.
Oh, you went to the Twin Oaks.
Twin Oaks. Yeah.
No, that's interesting. You really did, and you had Brussels sprouts there.
Yeah, I had.
How were those?
Brussels sprouts and cauliflower? They were delicious.
Oh, they're famous for that, actually.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
they were really good.
Yeah. That's funny that you had that. Colleen must have told you to get that.
No, she got that too.
They're
but
famous for that.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah.
I also ate some of Alex Gumpel's French fries because he was sitting next to me.
That's more like
it. That'll be important once we get to the app, which if we could show, I think it's better if we show it on the
on
Apple
the TV.
You
really
plates.
She's all over this. Plates.
Yeah. Can you see? Am I not connected anymore?
Plates.
Do I have to reconnect to? Okay, thank you.
Plates. Not platelets.
No, plates.
Plates. There it is.
Okay, plates.
Plates.
Plates. Okay, so.
How many people?
So this is how you split a bill, okay?
Yeah.
So let's, there were probably around seven.
Oh, look, the put out plates
seven
for all of them.
Yeah,
and there's
plates
you.
For everybody. And then I click next.
Okay.
And enter the bill subtotal. So the.
Before tax.
Yeah, no. So let's say the bill was probably like $129.
That's a lot of Brussels sprouts. Okay.
$129.
Yeah. Okay.
And then next, and then you enter the bill tax.
Because you don't want to split the tax. No, because you don't
want to split the tax.
You don't include tax in tip. I don't know. Why would you not? Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
next.
And then so
split bill
here
equally
are
or
all
bill
of the
items.
People. So you could split the bill equally. I could have just pressed. We could have just done that, like civilized people, and everyone
that,
would
right.
pay 18. Or you enter the bill items.
But I only had Brussels sprouts.
Right.
I don't want to pay for your French fries.
So split the rest of the bill. So then you go to me, I can write my, name in there, Megan.
This is too much work.
And, I forgot to.
You, Megan, you had.
And then I could say, you know, what I had here and
nice.
How much it cost.
How much it cost.
And then
on,
done.
And, on.
And okay,
and then
so that
4 hours
was
later, you've got it all split up.
So then we got to the $20 French fries and I dragged it here. And then we say people shared. Oh, wait, let's see.
Now I understand, by the way, well, they didn't do tax because the tax, if you split it this way, will be different for each person.
So if you shared an item, then you can, so like, for example, I shared the French fries. I think Anthony ate one of the French fries.
This is really overkill.
Okay, so people shared this.
And how much of the French fries did you have?
People, yeah, exactly. We did that. People shared this item.
6%.
Who split this item? So like I did, Anthony did. I think maybe...
how many fries were on the plate?
Yeah.
32. How many fries did you have? 4.
Right. So, like, let's say you just split the appetizer, and then you want to... You can enter everything or split the rest. We went and did it all the
way down. This is, by the way, the point at which Leo says, oh, screw it, I'll pay for it.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the whole point of this app.
Everyone was kind of doing that, except Patrick.
Let Leo pay it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was enjoying... Patrick and I were organizing it all, and then...
Well, he's a programmer. He would, of course, love this.
Okay, let's finish it. Select all. Who's splitting the rest? Everybody is splitting.
Oh,
done. All done.
Oh,
then it
next
calculates
time, let me buy
the
lunch,
tax,
please.
And the tip.
I beg of you.
And then you can, and he shared it with me. You can send it via text or via email, and then
everybody is plates.
It's a free app. Plates by Splitwise.
I'll need a nap after using that. Wow.
You know, I mean, I think Colleen appreciated it because all she had was the Brussels sprouts, and she drank water. She didn't even drink a soda like I did.
Next time, Colleen, put it on the card. But that's cool. Plates.
We should just put all of our meals on the card, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean.
In fact, we should get you a card. I don't know why you don't have a card.
That's why I don't have a card. I think we all know why I don't have a card. I think we all know that.
My app is called Squoosh, but it's an interesting kind of app. You don't get it in the App Store. It's a website, squoosh.app, S-Q-U-O-O-S-H. And it's actually very handy. But I'm also showing it because it's a new category of app called a progressive web app. So you can, in fact, I should go there again because, when I first went there, it said you can install this app. This looks like a regular website. Drag and drop, though, might be a little tricky. It's kind of hard to drag and drop on an iPad. You can do it. I could slide it over and drag stuff over there. Or you could hit the share button, and you could say, I want to add this to the home screen. Because this is a progressive web app, it actually installs all of the pieces it needs to be an app. Unfortunately, it didn't do a very good job on this one. I have another. Maybe that's because I already have Squoosh on here, but we'll show it. So now it's an icon that I can drag images to. And what this does is it'll actually take images and resize them, reduce the palette, compress them, choose a variety of compression options for images, including WebP, Browser Ping, Browser JPEG. This is a really handy app to get things smaller in size. You have a quality slider here, and there's even more advanced settings if you really want to go crazy about color channels and point. You can have pointless spec compliance. You can turn it's normally off, but if you really want to be compliant, you could turn on pointless spec compliance. You can have different kinds of quantization. This is all the advanced stuff. You don't need to worry about this. In fact, it'll pretty much do the right thing without doing any settings at all. But I really like this. It also has, this is a website. It has a slider so you can see based on the how much compression you're using, how different the image looks and whether that's a big deal or not for you. This is really impressive. It's called Squoosh. It's a Google project, but I think what's really interesting about Squoosh.
How do you spell Squoosh?
SQOOSH.app. Okay. This is the first, not the first, but one of the, I think, an early example of a PWA or progressive web app. It looks like it's an app on my iPad. But in fact, I think I probably have it on here as well. I can show you if you install it properly, Squoosh will have a real icon. See there like that. So that looks, for all intents and purposes, like an iPhone app, mm-hmm. right? And it behaves just like an iPhone app. It even works offline because of this new capability called PWA or Progressive Web App where with service workers. Now, Apple doesn't support PWAs, frankly, as well as Microsoft or Google. It's a Google program project that Microsoft has gotten behind with their browsers. Mozilla has gotten behind. Safari has a little bit of support, but not the, nearly the full support I'd like to see. Because, frankly, if you think about it, Apple would prefer people buy stuff from the App Store and not use websites. But, for instance, for a company like us, instead of making a different app for Android, iOS, making it, customizing it, writing it, we could make a website as a progressive web app that would, you could make a home icon for that would act like an app, including working offline, playback, podcasts, things like that. So Squoosh is really fun. It's a useful little app, frankly, to have all that capability of squooshing stuff. So let's reduce the palette and let, that's not good at all. I don't know if I want to have that. See, this is the difference. When I reduce the palette, it's, that's not good. That's not, if I reduce the palette and I have, no, there's no way. Don't reduce the palette. But I could lower the quality. Let's bring it down here quite a bit. It's 87% smaller. But frankly,
yeah, you can't tell.
So it's really doing a good job. It goes from 2.92 megabytes to 389 kilobytes. Neat example. This is a Google Doodle of what a progressive web app could do, and actually a pretty useful little app to have on your device, iOS or Android. It's called Squoosh, and you go to the web to get it, not to the App Store. squoosh.app.
Love it. I'm going to squoosh all the things.
Yeah, it's good. You know, if you're sending, Apple does this squooshing for you kind of automatically when you send an image mm-hmm. through messages, for instance. But it may not do exactly what you want it to do. Mm-hmm. So this way you can do it kind of more specifically with tweak it a little bit to get it look better, but a smaller size, that kind of thing, and then send it.
Advanced squooshing. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to end advanced squooshing because now we're done. We've used up your time. You're never going to get that back.
We do this show live. You can watch it live every Tuesday morning around about 9 Pacific. That's noon Eastern. Be about 1600 UTC if you want to. Actually, 1700 UTC now. If you want to come by and watch, go to twit.tv/live or listen. We have live audio and video. You can also join the kids who are watching live in the back of the class there, the Wiseacres in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. TV. Highly recommend it. On-demand audio and video also available at our website, twit.tv/iOS, as with all of our shows. And you can subscribe in your favorite podcast application. And that way you can listen whenever you want. We get the show out by Tuesday afternoon, Pacific time. You should be able to get it and have it in time for your commute on Wednesday. Thank you, Megan Maroney. If people want to answer questions as well as ask them, they can email you at twit.tv, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and send us videos. I have tons of questions. We'd love to see your face or hear your voice. Upload it to YouTube or just share it through Dropbox. If you have a question or a comment, we would love to see your face asking it.
And if you have a great hat,
yes,
wear it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, wear it with us. We can see you.
Yeah. I see Jimmy and Sally. Francie, nice hat, Francie. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time
on iOS Today.
Bye-bye.